He's my brother in Christ, and it's so good every time he leads, helps us lead in worship. And it's good to see you all here as well. I've been out of town for a couple of days. I went to Atlanta to a workshop for just a couple of days. You know, I've lived over half of my life in Atlanta. And I've been down here for a little over 4 years, about 4.5 years. How quickly I forget what it's like to drive in Atlanta. Oh my goodness. Did you know in Atlanta, obeying the law can get you killed? You can get killed in Atlanta obeying the law. I was getting into town, going on to my workshop, and as I entered onto the interstate, I had a long on-ramp, and I got all the way up to 55 miles an hour before I got into the interstate, you know. I looked over in my rearview mirror, nothing in my lane. I thought everything was good. And so I was cruising down the interstate, and the next thing I know, there's an 18-wheeler bearing down on me, honking his horn, smoke coming out of his tires. He whipped around me. He gave me some special Atlanta greeting. We'll call it the American Sign Language, I don't know, but I almost got killed. And I was the one obeying the law. Everybody else around me was breaking the law, you know, 80 miles an hour is kind of the speed du jour around there. And so I'm glad to be back here where people are only moderately rude on the roads. But it's kind of funny how things like that work, because sometimes the more we try to stick to the law, the more trouble we get into. And Paul was kind of like that. As we get into this message on Galatians, he's talking about the law, and he says that he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee's Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were the keepers of the law. The law meant more to them than just about anybody else, because you see, back in those days, the Jewish understanding was that the people had been so disobedient that God stopped bringing prophets to tell them things. And the last prophet they heard from was about 500 years ago. And so this sect of Jews named Pharisees came up. Their understanding was that the reason God is not there is because they're not obedient enough. And if they could just be obedient enough, God would come back. And they had this promise of the Messiah who would usher in a new kingdom of David, a new reign of Judaism where God is our king, and if they could only be good enough. And so the Pharisees were the ones really bent on obeying the law. Paul was a zealous Pharisee. He did everything to uphold the law. He even got to the point where he was persecuting other people who he thought were disobeying the law. He wanted everybody to be in line. And the more he hung on to that, the more trouble he got into, until one day he found himself holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen. So on his way to Damascus, he saw Jesus, and it turned everything upside down. And he began to understand that all this zealous keeping of the law was actually keeping him from God. It's a trap, you see. Sometimes we find ourselves in a trap, like money, for example. Have you ever been in a situation where the more money you make, the more you need, and it's never quite enough? That's a trap, isn't it? That's a trap. And we find ourselves getting trapped into things all the time. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are free from those traps. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the cross changes all of that. Now, just to give you kind of an understanding of how this works, I don't know, have you ever heard of a monkey jar? A monkey jar trap? A monkey, you know, in Africa and Indonesia, places like that, monkeys are pests, kind of like squirrels, and so they try to get them, you know, to move on. And so they create a monkey jar trap. We might see a picture of one up here somewhere. But anyway, you might have a gourd, or in this case, a coconut, or maybe a jar or something like that, and you put something sweet or some fruit in the jar, and the jar is attached to a rope or a chain. The monkey comes up and he reaches in to grab it, and he can't get his hand out because he's holding on, right? Now, I'm a human being, so I'm slightly smarter than a monkey, and I know that if I just let go of my hand, let go of the thing, I can get my hand out. Monkeys have been trapped this way for hundreds of years. They've never figured out that if they just let go, they can get away. But the humans successfully trap the monkeys that way all the time. And so I just want to ask you this morning, what is your monkey jar? What has you trapped? There are several things that could trap us. There's an inexhaustible list, but I'm going to throw out a few of them just to get your minds going. First of all, there's this thing going on in our head that Christianity is safe and the world is dangerous out there. And if I just get into the church, it'll keep me safe. And I won't have to push myself out there out of my comfort zone, because here we find refuge and here we find safety. And the more we try to find safety, the more scary the world out there looks. It's a monkey jar trap. When the truth of the matter is, one of the most dangerous things you can do is come into the church and start following Christ, because he said you're going to have to take up your own cross someday. But he also said whoever loses their life will find it. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And we're all about finding and saving our lives here in the church. But it's not safe. Okay? And it's an illusion to think that if we just come into the church, we'll be safe. Another one we have is that we don't have to change. See, if we get to that point where we don't have to change, we can say, as long as we're in the church, and God has grace for everybody, and so he's going to forgive me. He loves me just the way I am, and he's going to forgive me. But that's a monkey jar trap, because the more we are set in our own ways, the more we realize we're disappointing God. We're not pleasing God because we're not going on to perfection and love. We have to change, and God gives us the change. It's not something that we earn. It's something that happens to us, that we become transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's another thing Paul said. So that can be a monkey jar trap. Oh, here's a good one. How about I can fix myself? You ever tried that? That's one of those things where you recognize your faults, you recognize your unrighteousness, and you determine that you're going to fix yourself and stop breaking God's laws. And that was the monkey jar trap that Paul kept going into. He kept white-knuckling it, as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, anybody who's been through the 12-step program for alcoholism or any kind of addiction, drug or sex or gambling, you know that the more you try to fix yourself, the more you're going to fail. And as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to let go and let God. You have to let go and let God. So this fix it myself mentality is a monkey jar trap. Or how about Christ will save me in my current circumstances? You get into trouble, you cry out to the Lord, and you think, if I just have enough faith, God is going to save me from this predicament I'm in. And lo and behold, sometimes it doesn't work. And you think, well, maybe I didn't have enough faith, or maybe everything I believe about God is not really true. It's a monkey jar trap if you think God is going to save you in your current circumstances. The truth is that God wants to save you for eternity, but he's not going to save you from the consequences of your own actions. He will lead you out of it. But it may be the kind of pain that you can look back through, and eventually you get to say, praise God, he led me out of it, and now I am who I am by the grace of God, right? That's what we mean by salvation. It's not this fake salvation where God is going to solve all our problems for us if we just start crying out for help. That's a monkey jar trap. For Paul, it was the law. The gospel is a stumbling block for the Jews and folly to the Greeks. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, for Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you're looking for the power of God through your own power, or you're looking for the wisdom of God through your own wisdom, it's folly and it's a stumbling block. And the idea that Jesus can die on a cross and that makes a big difference to you, that's folly to the Jews. And it's a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's pure foolishness and folly to the Greeks. However you look at it, whatever mindset that you have, if you let go of that and have the renewing of your mind to understand the grace of God and God's purposeful place in history that he brings Jesus to live among us, counterintuitively dying for our sake to show us the enormity of his love, so that by faith, and not by any works of our own, by faith, we can let go and let God direct our lives. And we'll get out of the trap. This is good news. This is good news because human beings have been falling for the trap of self-righteousness for thousands of years, and it still creeps into the church from time to time. Even though the bedrock of our faith is that we have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, it still creeps into the church sometimes, and we have people say, oh, I haven't been to the church in a long time because I know I've sinned and I'm just not good enough. I'm not as good as all those other people. Can I hear a laugh about that? I mean, you guys know, right? I'm looking. I haven't found any righteous people by their own works yet. I know you're good people, don't get me wrong, but you're not that good. You know. Last week I had somebody come up to me after the church and said, after the sermon, and said, that was a good sermon, Brian. And I said, well, thank you, but I really have to give credit to the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, it wasn't that good. The cross of Jesus Christ is the solution to our monkey jar. It saves us. And Paul put it this way, as much as I tried to be righteous by the law, I kept condemning myself, and so I had to die to the law and be crucified in this world so that I could be righteous by the blood of Christ. He said, I had to die to the law. I had to die to the law because the law was condemning me and nothing I did was good enough. My old self has been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Why don't you say that for me? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that is great news. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like great news that you die. But remember what Jesus said. Those who try to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will have life. So you really only have to die. And if that seems hard to you, believe me, it's not as hard as hanging on to whatever is in that monkey jar that you're holding on to. Paul was talking about something that he called a thorn in his side, and we don't really know what that thorn is like. But it was tormenting him all of his life, and he prayed to God, and he prayed to God, and he prayed to God, Lord, take it away from me, and God never did. But he heard God say to him, my grace is sufficient for you. So whatever it is that you're holding on to, you need to crucify yourself. Crucify yourself to let go and let God. So what is it that you're hanging on to? Are you having marriage troubles? Are you and your spouse unable to forgive one another, and you keep expecting more than you're getting, and so you start backing off because actually you don't get anything in return, and the next thing you know, you're strangers living under the same roof? You need to crucify yourself and let Christ come in and bring the two of you together. I know that's easier said than done, but let me remind you, God's grace is sufficient for you. Do you have money problems? Are you stuck into some habit that's costing you more money than you can make? Some addiction that you have? Some habit that you're into or hurt or hang up and you can't get through that? You need to what? Crucify yourself. I want to hear that. Crucify yourself so that you can die to the things that are holding you down in this world and find new life in Christ, because Christ died for you. Therefore, you can be crucified with Christ. And it's no longer you who's torn up in this world. It is Christ living in you that is free to please God and love others. And that's what it's all about, pleasing God and loving others. How about a season of doubt? Are you going through a season of doubt in your life where you pray and it just seems like you're talking to a brick wall? You don't hear anything else. There's so many other things going on in the world that's crowding into your brain. You can't sense the presence of the Lord. You need to crucify yourself. Say that. Crucify yourself so that that part of you which is distracted by everything else in the world except what matters can be nailed to the cross. And you can live through Jesus Christ, because the old self is now dead and the new self is transformed into a new life. That, by the way, is why Saul changed his name to Paul. He had to kill Saul so that Paul could serve God. Saul was useless to God. Saul was persecuting the Christians. Saul was killing himself trying to be righteous, and he put himself to death so that he could rise and become Paul. And Paul was very useful to God. Paul was very pleasing to God because Paul knew how to love people into the church. And this is what it's really all about. So I want you to remember that this week. And so we're going to do something today. We're going to crucify ourselves. Now, I don't mean literally. I don't want to have a mess to clean up. But Ben and his cohorts are going to bring this cross over here, and you have a piece of paper in your seat. I want you to take a minute and write down your name on that piece of paper. And during this song that we're going to close with, I'm going to invite everybody to come up. We have hammers, we have nails. You bring the paper and nail your name to the cross. And remember that you're dying to this world so that you can live in Christ. And it is no longer you that lives, but Christ who lives in you, and you will have new life. We all get that? We all get that? And we'll take as long as it takes. But I want you to remember that when you do that, you're no longer pleasing this world. You're pleasing God. And that frees you up to love others. I call your attention to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. St. John the Divine had an encounter with Jesus himself. And Jesus said, write these letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. number one, write this letter to the church in Ephesus. This is the first letter he wanted John to write. And you know what he said? I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said, I'm proud of you guys. You work hard. You never get tired. You hold, stand up for things, and you drive out the evildoers, and you call the false prophets for what they are. And I thank you for that, but I have this against you. Blowing a lot of sunshine their way about them being such a righteous church, but he said, I have this against you. You have forgotten the love that you had from the beginning. The church that was born in love became a church hung up on righteousness to the point of driving people away. And God said, if you keep this up, I'm going to take away your golden lampstand. In other words, you're no longer going to be the church of Jesus Christ, because the church of Jesus Christ gives up on the law and learns to love. The church of Jesus Christ dies to these things and rises to new life in Christ. James Harnish wrote a book called You Only Have to Die. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Now, that book was really about churches more than about individuals, but the same thing holds. He said, in order for a stagnant, dying church to be reborn, all it has to do is die to the old things that it's hanging on to. You need to let go of the things in your monkey jar that's holding you back. All those committees that we form and all those programs that have stopped being effective and all those traditions and history that bogs us down. And you have to die to those things, and the church can be reborn into the church of Jesus Christ. That excites me. That excites me. And so as we come forward and you think about what's in your monkey jar that you're holding on to, I want you to nail your name to that cross and let Christ be in you from this day forward. Amen and amen.